You know, probably one of the most important things about growing a garden is taking care of the soil from the very beginning. One of the realities on the farm that I spent part of my life growing up on is just taking time to get the rocks out of the soil, the weeds, and also putting some really good fertilizer, usually in our case it was Miracle-Gro or something like that, that really worked incredibly well. And at the end of growing those crops, you'd have a wonderful harvest. But the most important thing was the soil that it was planted in. The same is true for the soil of our heart. And as we continue to reflect on the book of Acts, I want to submit to you that the miracle grow in the soil of our hearts is none other than the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings life and energy to the soil of our lives in a very powerful way. Samuel Stevenson shares in Where is God's Power? A city full of churches, great preachers, lettered men, grand music, choirs, and organs. If all these fail, what then? Good workers, eager, earnest, who labor hour by hour. But where, oh where, my brother, is God's almighty power? It's the Holy Spirit that quickeneth the soul. God will not take man worship, nor bow to man's control. No human innovation, no skill or worldly art can give true repentance or break a sinner's heart. Great God, revive us truly and keep us every day, that men may all acknowledge we live just what we pray. The Lord's hand is not shortened. He still delights to bless if we depart from evil and all our sins confess. Obviously a poem that was written many, many years ago, and yet in a very real way timeless, and still speaks to us in this moment about the importance of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want to spend some time reflecting with you on that in the book of Acts as I continue to look at that with you, about the reality that the Holy Spirit in the early life of the church directed the life of the church. It directed the lives of the people that were in the church, and it directed them in a very powerful way and anointed their lives to do great things for the kingdom of God. And I would submit to you that in this hour, as you and I surrender to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the same things will happen through you and through me. You'll remember on that first Pentecost day that the disciples were waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit. It was one of those rare moments in their lives where they actually listened to what Jesus told them. And as all of us know, that's a wonderful thing to experience. You have those people in your life where you continue to share with them what to do, and they go in the opposite direction. And then you have that moment where they actually listen, and it's really a wonderful experience. And I know for the Lord it was as well, and for the disciples, as they listened to the Lord blessed them because of that. And a powerful Pentecost occurred. That day Peter preached, and 3,000 came to the Lord. There was a fellowship that was energized. They shared fellowship with one another, the breaking of bread. They helped one another out. There were conversions and healings that took place. And so this was a church that was alive with the power of God in some very wonderful and life-changing ways, not only for them, but for the world. Well, as the church was experiencing the life of God, a persecution arose against them. Right before this chapter that we read in Acts today, there's the stoning of Stephen. Stephen was bearing witness to God before the Jews. They didn't like what he was saying, and so they ended up stoning him to death. In fact, there was a zealot Pharisee by them who held all their coats while they did that, and his name was Saul. So after Stephen was stoned to death, what happened was a great persecution rose against the church. And because of that, Christians were scattered all over the known world at that point. And that's where we pick up in Acts 8 with Philip. Philip, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they paid close attention to what he said. And so what we see in the reading in Acts today in your bulletin is that Philip was part of this scattering. And he ended up going to Samaria. And as the disciples of Jesus Christ were scattered, you would think that because of the persecution, they would just keep their mouth shut and no longer talk about Jesus. But that is not what happened. The Holy Spirit was on them. They were excited about the risen Christ, and they really couldn't keep their mouth shut. And so they continued to share with people about the good news of Christ. And Philip, he was not only proclaiming the gospel, but it says in here that people were being healed. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and crippled were healed. So there was great joy in the city. And so what we see in Philip is that as he proclaims that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, there is power that accompanies that. And people stand up and take notice of that. People were delivered from evil spirits in their lives. They came out with shrieks. Cripples and paralytics were healed. This would get people's attention, wouldn't it? If this were to happen in your midst, it would get your attention. It always does. And it says in this particular part of the scripture, so there was great joy in the city. You know, whenever God really shows up in a city, there is great joy. Now, sometimes people will oppose you. Some people won't like what you have to say. There'll be some persecution, but there also will be great joy because people will experience the deliverance of God. And so what begins to happen in Samaria is a revival breaks out. A revival was already breaking out on that Pentecost day, and as the disciples were in Jerusalem, and as the persecution hits the early church and they scatter all over the place, guess what? Fires are catching in other places, and revival continues to spread. The persecution doesn't kill the church. It spreads the church out so that they can continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. God was using Philip to bring revival to Samaria. And then, in my mind at least, the Holy Spirit does something really crazy. Has God ever done something in your life that seems really crazy? You know, God kind of, maybe a door closed or something isn't quite working out for you, or you feel like God is leading you to do something, and you say to yourself, you know what, that's just crazy. God, why would you even want to do something like that? And then, of course, at least for me, I look back on it and say, ah, that's why you did that. That makes a lot more sense right now. That makes sense why you did it that way. And that happens more often than not in my life. Well, that's what happens in Philip's life. Let's take a read here again in your verse. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way to meet an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip to go up to the chariot and to join it. And Philip ends up witnessing to the eunuch from Isaiah about Jesus. He believes and ends up being baptized. And what has just happened is that the Holy Spirit has sown the seed for revival in Ethiopia. Not such a bad idea after all. You see, you and I don't know the whole story. We don't know exactly what God is up to often in our lives. But as the Holy Spirit apparently was doing something crazy by leading Philip away from a revival that he had just begun in Samaria, God was actually going to use Philip to sow the seed for revival in Ethiopia. What an amazing thing that the Spirit of God was doing in the midst of God's people in that hour and in that time. Listen to this. Spirit-led witnessing is the right person in the right place at the right time saying the right thing to the right person. That's hard to say. But it's listening to the Holy Spirit and being open to the right time and the right place and the right person. And we see this throughout the book of Acts. We see this throughout the rest of the story. Acts chapter 9, the Holy Spirit calls a man on the Damascus Road. Remember the story I shared with you recently about Saul? How he gets knocked off his horse on the Damascus Road? And he sends another to pray for him, Ananias. Now again, Ananias, when he hears the call of the Holy Spirit to go pray for Saul, argues with God. He says, God, you got to be kidding me. Saul is busy killing Christians and imprisoning them. Why do you want me to go pray for this guy? And the Holy Spirit says to him, I know whom I've chosen, and he's a chosen instrument of mine. God had decided to call Saul to be a great witness to the Gentiles. And so Ananias goes, he listens to God. Again, it seems crazy to him, but he listens, he goes and prays for him. Saul recovers his sight, he becomes Paul, and he becomes a part of the church. And then in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit says to the church, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to, spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. And then you read the rest of the story. There's the Philippian jailer. There's Cornelius. There's Lydia. There's Rome. There are people after people after people in prisons, in the countryside, in the markets, where the disciples are led, Barnabas and Saul, as they are set apart to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, God blesses them. And the gospel just spreads and breaks out like a mighty power and a mighty fire, and people are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ in a mighty and wonderful way because they're listening to the Holy Spirit and they're being empowered by the Spirit of God. That is what the church needs in this moment. That is what we desperately need in our lives throughout the church, not only in our country, but in the world. You know, Josephus, which was a Roman historian of the time, wrote as a secular historian of the church, the early church, that they are turning the world upside down. And you know what? It was a world that needed to be turned upside down. Hedonistic, immoral, corrupt, worshiping men. It was a world that needed to be turned upside down by the power of God. And I would say to you that we are living in an hour where our country and our world needs to be turned upside down. I say, turn it upside down. What do you got to lose? Turn it upside down from darkness to light, from lying and deceit to speaking the truth in love, from greed and stealing to generosity, from all of the bankrupt philosophies that men have been following all these years to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ risen from the dead and the Holy Spirit empowering the church. I say turn the world upside down. It's what it needs in this hour through the people of God. And guess where it's going to start? You. It's going to start with you. Yeah, and I see some of you already looking to your left and your right. I knew it was going to happen. Or in your mind, you're already thinking about who really needs to hear this message. You need to hear this message. I need to hear this message. The church in you is called in this moment to be the ones turning this world upside down. You think right now it's about Republican and Democrat and Independent, because that's what fills the media right now, and that's where the debate is. But I say to you, it's really about the kingdom of God in this hour and the people of God. We need to get rid of political correctness, and we need to have a Jesus correctness. We need to be aligned to the Spirit of God in this hour. That is what God's Spirit is calling upon his people to do, to get right with him, to repent of their sins, and to align with him in what he wants to do, to abide in him, to rest in him, that we might be his light in this world. The reason why the church is not turning the world upside down in this moment is because we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. This isn't rocket science. It is not. If you and I and the church in this present moment would begin to really listen and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, whatever it means, the Lord will use us again to turn this world upside down into his light, into his love, and into the transformation that he desires. We keep looking for the answer somewhere else. We keep pointing the finger at everybody else. And I say to you in this moment, the Holy Spirit is looking at you individually, especially during this message, and asking you, are you willing to have your life turned upside down? I won't say, are you willing to do something crazy for the Holy Spirit? Because I know some of you, that would just be too far of a stretch. So I won't do that. But are you willing to really allow your life to be turned upside down? Because that's what's going to take in this moment and in this hour. And that's what the world needs. I mean, that's what this world needs in this moment. It needs you and I and our lives turned upside down in the power and grace and presence of the Holy Spirit and reaching out to people around us, praying for them in the midst of their sickness and the struggles that they have, lifting them up and pointing them to the Lord, being faithful in scripture and in prayer, and being willing to be that person where revival can begin in my heart. You know, as I was praying about this message this weekend, I had a vision of all of you. It was a good vision. It's encouraging. It's not bad. You can smile. This is really good news. You know, I'm talking about your life being turned upside down, and some of you are really getting concerned right now. But you know what? It's really good news because you and I, it needs to happen to us. You don't want the alternative. I don't want to keep going in, and I'm not going in the direction of the world. I want to go in the kingdom direction, and I'm encouraging all of us to go in that direction. But I had a vision of you. And this is the vision I have. You're talking to a friend who is going through profound relationship, health, and mental struggles. At a low point, having tried everything, they do not know what else to do, and so they ask your advice. You share you've had low points in your life as well, struggles where you didn't know if you were going to make it through, and that Jesus gave you grace and wisdom to make it through. And you pray right then for them, for their relationships, for their mind, for their heart, for their emotions, for their health, and that they would be open to truly receiving fully Jesus and the Holy Spirit into their life. You were the right person in the right place, at the right time, saying the right thing to the right person. Beloved, that is your call in this hour. Hear me. That is your call to each of us in this moment, to be that person, to be that witness. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And you and I don't even begin to have an imagination to grasp all that God can do through one human being that is more and more surrendered to him.